Well, good morning, and it really is. How amazing is this? We are at the end of the year, and I don't have to tell you or remind you that the last 2 years have been pretty tough on us as individuals, on tough as a community, indeed our country and our world. It's been a tough time. But as we look back, and hopefully we can say it's all behind us now, but in that wake of what's behind us has been this incredible track of disaster. You know, there's been some incredibly sad stories out there, as Doug alluded to in his prayer and stuff like that. And people are doing it tough. And there's some heartbreaking stories. Apparently, from my understanding, that 1 in 5 people goes without a meal every day. That's pretty tough. Yeah, so this morning I wanted to share with you about mountains. And the Bible has over 500 references about mountains. And back in the early biblical days, both the Jews and the Christians considered the mountains a holy place. Because the higher the mountain, the closer to God. Or the closer to God's office you would be. Closer to heaven. And yet in the Bible there are some very holy places. Let me just run through them very quickly. You know, Mount Ararat, where the ark came to rest in Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 to 8, in case you want to write them down. Mount Sinai, Moses received the Ten Commandments, Exodus 19, 20 to 24. Mount of Olives, Jesus prays before his arrest and his crucifixion, Luke 22, 39 to 49. In the same place on the Mount of Olives, we see how Jesus ascended into heaven. Mount Tabor, where Jesus was transfigured. You know, transfigured, by the way, means that the appearance had changed. And there he is on the mountain of Mount Tabor, and he meets up with Moses and Elijah. You know, and both Moses and Elijah, by the way, were mountain veterans. But I thought about that last night as I was just finishing off. Can you imagine being there, listening to the conversation of Jesus, Elijah, and Moses? I wonder what they said. Can you imagine? Think about that. Mount Carmel, Elijah called upon God to light the sacrifices that were there. Kings chapter 1, verse 28. And of course, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus delivers the Beatitudes of Matthew in Matthew chapter 5. So we'll start with the scripture. Peter, if you put that first one up for me. It's Matthew chapter 17. Can you just do something with that, mate? Yeah. Matthew chapter 17. And what it is, if the scripture just before this is, Jesus is a little frustrated by his disciples. And you know, that they said, but Lord, why can't we drive out demons? But he goes on to say this, he replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So I talked about mountains, those physical mountains. I believe that Jesus here is talking about the mountains in our life, the circumstances in our life. And sometimes these circumstances or these mountains seem insurmountable, unable to conquer, and there's no way through. And there was one of those famous preachers once said, Robert Schuller, said this in one of his books, "When faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I climb over, find a pass through, or tunnel underneath." And let's face it, all of us at some stage or another struggle. We've all got mountains in our life. We all go through stuff. Is there anybody in here that doesn't go through stuff? I don't think so. See, life, you know, in life we're going to have some scratches and bruises. Life is tough. Life is unpredictable. Life is unfair. You know, Tony reminded me on the way in about Tasmania. You know, the 5 children that lost their life. You know, I can't even read about that stuff. I turn the radio off. You know, I just find it heartbreaking. So for me personally, I'm praying for the parents, the brothers and sisters, the teachers, the emergency workers. Did you see that picture in the paper of the emergency workers? Brokenhearted. See, life is unpredictable. And your life, as the scripture says, is but a mist. You know when that mist comes out of your mouth? It lasts but a second and it's gone. You know, not every day, of course, for some is a challenge. But for some, from the time they wake up in the morning, life is a challenge. And I can tell you, and I won't name them, not here, by the way, but I may encounter a couple of people each week that every time I see them, life has got a new challenge for them. And sometimes I was in my office the other day and a person went by and I thought, I'll just keep working. Maybe they won't see me. Because I knew if that person came into my office, they were going to hit me with one of their challenges. And that's not that I'm not interested, but sometimes it kind of wears you down. Does anybody understand that? It kind of wears you down. And these folks go from one challenge to another. You look at the disciples, those who were closest to Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me, Matthew chapter 8, verses 8, 18 to 22. Now, I won't read it all, but you know the story of come follow me. Jesus said, come follow me. And what happened? One of them said, Lord, but can I go home first and bury my father? And then I will follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, when you look at that statement on the face of it, it sounds really harsh, doesn't it? But I believe that the man was saying, Lord, my father is old and he's going to die at some stage. I want to be home to bury him. And once I've done all that, this is John Gray theology, by the way. But once he dies, Lord, I will follow you. And Jesus replies, let the dead bury the dead. And I believe that he was implying that that man was spiritually dead and the people of that town or some of those people were spiritually dead. I heard someone give a sermon in here one day years ago and he talked about the walking dead, that there are people outside the door that are the walking dead. That's pretty harsh. You see, the disciples had mountains and challenges. Let's look at the life of Paul for a moment on his journey. He hated Christians. You put that up for me, right? Look at that. Saul was still breathing murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He would go into synagogues and he would drag men and women out and have them arrested and put in jail. He was a religious zealot. And then what happened on the road to Damascus? He had an experience walking along and all of a sudden out of heaven came that voice. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And what happened was that changed his life in an instant. And he was willing to die for the gospel and ultimately he did. You know, there's not even any real evidence that Paul ever met Jesus. He heard his voice. Let's have a look at Paul's life in Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. Does someone want to read that for me? Can someone come up and read that? Come on, Robin. Nice big voice.
Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've laboured and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches.
Paul have some mountains in his life. He certainly did. And of course, ultimately, he was bashed, he was beaten, and in the end, he was beheaded. Paul was crucified. And there's a lot of speculation about what happened to the others and discussion that goes on. But certainly, he faced some mountains. So today, I'm talking about mountains. And when I talk about mountains, the circumstances in your life, what does Jesus have to say? Let me read to you again from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Go ahead, Pete. Because you have little faith, truly I tell you, if you have the faith of a small mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible. Do you know what the size of a mustard seed is? It's just so tiny. If I put it up here and hold it in my hand, you wouldn't see it. And I believe that Jesus is not talking about the size of your faith. He's talking about the quality of your faith. So how do we get from one side of the mountain to the other? You see, the description of the mountain is a metaphor. If we have faith as small as a mustard seed. You know, Jesus, as I said, he demonstrated that it was more the quality of your faith rather than the size of your faith. I remember when Gavin Phillips was here, it was a long time ago, Gavin preached a message and he said that we have access to the Father. So where do we get faith from? In Romans chapter 10, verse 7, it says we gather together. Where is it? Faith comes from hearing and hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word, through Christ. So where do we get the word of God from? It's in places like this. It's through hearing up that our faith is built up. So it's important as Christians to attend church. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 to 25. See, a church is a place, a safe place. A place that we can build each other up and encourage each other. It's a place where you can come and feel safe and loved. Now the Bible says in Timothy and in Hebrews, do not neglect meeting together as some have. You see, it's important. There's great value in coming together in a gathering like this. You know, people leave the church because they become disillusioned. You know, and I've seen people leave the church when they become disillusioned. And what they do, they start their own little groups, little home groups. They pull away from the church. And then I believe there's a real danger sometimes if a home group is not under some kind of covering. And I've seen that happen, where they all of a sudden they start to form their own theology and doctrine. And there was a high-profile person just a little while ago, a sports person, on the news one time. He made a criticism. And then they looked at his particular family. His father was the pastor. There was only 30 of them there. And they had their own theology. And their comment was that the Father and the Son are one and the Holy Spirit is a separate identity. Now, I'm not sure what Bible they were reading, but it's not the same as mine. We won't get into discussion of that today. I read somewhere too, to explain the Trinity, you will lose your mind. To deny the Trinity, you will lose your soul. So going back to what we're talking about, this morning we're talking about mountains in our life, about those circumstances and the value of being involved in the church. You see, our circumstances and challenges come in all different packages. And there's one here for you, I'm sure. Whether it be your health, or someone close to you, or the loss of somebody, or a loved one you cared for, or maybe it's a broken relationship of a family or friends, or even folks in business, or a mate, or someone even in church, a breakdown of a marriage, a deep financial need. You worry about your children. And whether your children are 5 or 50, by the way, you never ever stop worrying about them. Right, Mum? I see one over there. Give them a nod in her head. And one day, what's going to happen here, church, is the role is going to be reversed. Your children will become your parents. Is that a scary thought? I used to tease my daughter and say, you know, when I get old, you're going to change my nappies. And she said, no, Dad, I'm putting you straight in the home. Love and compassion. You know, other mountains in our life, you know, future employment. We worry about old age. And there are many other numerous mountains I haven't mentioned. But let me read for you scripture again, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, just as a reminder. And Jesus replied, because you have such little faith, truly I tell you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, or this circumstance, or this stress, or this problem, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So my question to you this morning, what's the mountain in your life? Amen. I'm going to ask you all to stand now. Mirelle, if you would. And a reminder again that Jesus said that you can say to that mountain, whatever that mountain might be in your life, move and it will move. And I don't know your circumstances today, but what I would want to do is the worship team play very quietly in the background. I'm going to give you the opportunity just in that quiet prayer to maybe talk to God about that mountain or whatever it might be. Something that might be holding you back, something that worries you, something that stresses you. Whatever that issue might be. God is here and God is present. Amen? Okay. Just allow you to pray quietly to the Lord in a private prayer. Let him know. Hear our prayer. And Father, you know our hearts. Lord, you know our joys and our sorrows. You know all the stress points that we maybe just hold in on a regular basis. The things that we worry about, Lord. But Lord, maybe in this quiet time this morning of prayer, as maybe we've let some of those things go, and that, Lord, we can hand them over to you. And these mountains, Lord, that you would flatten. And that, Lord, you could bring a peace And the Bible says that we can have a peace that passes all understanding. And that you will guide our hearts and our minds. So I pray that this morning. Lord, it's just as Doug had prayed before. I just want to echo that back, Lord. But if there are people here this morning that are unwell, Lord, you would bring healing to their body. And Lord, this is Christmas time. That you might put people in our way that we can demonstrate the love of God to these people. Father, thank you for the generosity of every person that comes to this place. Thank you for their giving. And Lord, we pray for those opportunities to give just a little bit of you at Christmas time. So Lord, would you walk amongst us right now? I pray, Lord, that you would touch every person in this room. You know their needs. And Lord God, I would thank you. And all God's people said together, amen. 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 God bless you, everybody.